Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our Shiur in Shulchan Aruch Evan HaEzer, Siman Aleph. We're going to talk about an incredible shaila that the Rivash was asked. He was asked by the community who wrote to him. The community was complaining about a young man named Anshmuel Arama, who had fallen in love, but had convinced a 90-year-old wealthy lady to marry him. And clearly, he was interested in the money. And because he was interested in the money, he figured, how many years does she have left to, before he could inherit her and take the money and run with it? So the question that the community raised to him, and you hear it, you see, I share the screen with you. The community was very frustrated because here's a person who does not have any children, has not yet fulfilled the mitzvah of Puravu, and therefore, typically we know that we are normally kofa people to fulfill the mitzvah of Puravu. As we know, even if somebody would be married 10 years and divorce, I'm sorry, 10 years without children, we'd force them to divorce in order to be Mekayim Puravu. Certainly, if you're going to have a guy who's going to marry a woman who can't have children because she's 30 years postmenopausal, 40 years postmenopausal, clearly there's no way we're going to allow her to get married, besides the fact that he's marrying her for all the wrong reasons, nothing but the money. So in the meantime, as you see in the red question, this young man, Anshmuel, it sounds like Shmuel, but with a little prefix, he went to the mayor or the governor and he complained about those Jews who are preventing him from marrying the love of his life and preventing him from the freedom of expressing his love to this wonderful, beloved 90-year-old lady. And he has no idea why they're not letting him. And he complained to, complained to the authorities. So the authorities turned to the Jewish court and said, how should we deal with this? And it was agreed between the mayor and the community, the Jewish community, the Beis Din of that town, that they would send this question to the Rivash, and the Rivash's answer would be binding on all three parties, this gentleman, Anshmuel Arama, and the mayor of the city, presumably Gentile, and of course the Beis Din of the city. And therefore, the Rivash has to decide and send back his response. How will we deal with this man who wants to marry a woman who is unable to bear children and he will be unable to fulfill the mitzvah of Puravu? That's the fascinating question. So now what we're going to see right now is the foundation behind the Shulchan Aruch's psak when it comes to forcing people in matters of marriage. Now, we have a lot of situations in marriage where you could wonder, should the Beis Din get involved? Let's say I told you, we had a case in our community a number of years ago, obviously confidential, I won't say any names, but an individual who was interested, a young man in our community, who was interested in marrying a young woman, and unfortunately she shared with him only after they were already quite committed one to another, that she is... I mean, there was a little bit of a complicated question because she has about 4 eggs left in her body. Unfortunately, she had some kind of medical disease where her eggs were very, I don't know, they were died or she didn't have eggs for whatever reason. And she had about 4 eggs, then two eggs, something very terrifying as far as the prospects for her to bear children. That was a more complicated shaila because there, I actually spoke with this with a postseik who raised the point that it's not that she can't bear children, it's that she doesn't have too many chances to bear children. Therefore, there might be a little bit more leniency in such a case. But if you have a person that we know that she doesn't have any eggs or her eggs have all died, as can happen with certain fertility circumstances, so are we going to allow the person to get married? They could love each other from today till tomorrow, but maybe the Beis Din is kofeh, right? If we force a husband wife to get divorced after 10 years without children bearing, maybe we should certainly, I mean, not maybe, kal vachomer, we should prevent them from getting married in the first place in a circumstance that we know they cannot bear children. Nowadays, you'll tell me she could get a donor egg. I don't want to get into that now. It's a good question. But let's assume that if he marries this woman, he will not be able to fulfill Puravu. So let's see the tshuva of the Rivash. That's the basis for our Shulchan Aruch to respond to this question. Can the Beis Din or a community force the person to either marry a woman or preclude that person, force him to not marry the woman? Okay, zok the tshuva, let's see. First, the Rivash sets out with the issues at hand are, Misha ein lo banim, ein lo lisa isha ela bas banim. If you're a person who can bear children, if you are of physical health that can bear children, so the halacha is you're supposed to marry a woman who also can bear children. That's if you haven't. Of course, if a person has already fulfilled Puruvu, Mishayesh Labanu Kvar Kiyam Mitzvah Priyavriyu, so then he can marry a, you know, if you have a gentleman who has had children, and now his wife passed on and got divorced, so of course, can get remarried in his golden years to her in her golden years. Nothing wrong with that, because he fulfilled Puruvu. But, of course, the halacha is that if a person did not fulfill Puruvu, even if they love each other, right? Afal Pisha Shneim Rotzim Lamod Yachad, they love each other, they're in love with each other. But he is someone who could bear children, she is unable to bear children. It's clear, as the Rivash concludes, the halacha ought to be, based in Kofin Oso Lahotzia, the Bezin could force them to get divorced, and clearly, as applies to this 90-year-old lady, Hu hadin lezakena kol shekenhu. He says a zakena is even worse than a woman who is unable to bear children. Why? Because a woman who has fertility issues, maybe there could be a cure. But a zakena, unless you're sorry, you may know, once a woman is postmenopausal, there's no cure that could potentially solve her fertility issues. She's just not going to have another child. We're not even going into the mitzvah d'rabbanon of having more children later in one's years. We're not going to go into that, but we're talking about just somebody who hasn't fulfilled at all Puruvu. But look at the next paragraph. It's an incredible point that the Rivash raises. Not halachic so much, but look what he says. Aval ma na'aseh, what can we do? Shelo ra'inu b'yameinu v'lo shamanu mikama doros. It's already been generations. We have not heard of any instances that Bezdin is nizkak lazeh, lakov lahotzi. We haven't heard any cases in recent years, in recent generations, that the Bezdin enforces this halacha of the Mishnah that says that a husband and wife who are together for 10 years and do not have children, that we force him to divorce her. I'm sure we all know somebody who has not had children for 10 years, and of course, we don't know what the reason is. Maybe it's his problem. But we know of plenty of people who haven't had children in 10 years, and they continue to live together. I had a Rosh Yeshiva who unfortunately wasn't able to bear children and for decades, and he was still a Rosh Yeshiva. Somebody who actually had visited our community numerous times. And even though the Basin should do it, but we have never seen something like that. Furthermore, look at the next paragraph. V'chein, says the Rivash. V'chein lo ra'inu bezin shenizkak. What about somebody who marries a katana? Okay, nowadays I know there are laws against this, but throughout history you see situations, even Tosis in some places point out that we do marry girls when they're young to avoid, you know, the draft or to avoid them being abducted and the like. But we know the Rambam says that you can't marry a katana because she's not able to have children. So if the husband could have children and the girl is 11 years old or 9 years old or 3 years old and won't be able to have children for quite a few years, so according to the Rambam, you're not allowed to marry that young girl. And yet, we don't find that there were ever Beisdins who forced such situations or who prevented somebody from marrying this 3-year-old love of their life. Why? Why not? Why don't Beisdins do what they're supposed to do? The Mishnah, the Gemara, gives them the authority to intercede to ensure that a person fulfills the mitzvah of Puruvu. Why haven't they? Have Beisdins for the past few generations in the 1200s, 1300s been so weak they just can't? Of course they could have done it. Why didn't they? Look at what the Rivash says. Vlazel, I'll tell you why. Because if the Beisdins would have gotten involved in these kinds of issues in marriages, imhayu Beisdin is kaken l'daktik al pishuras hadin, if they would follow what the proper halacha indeed is to, yes, separate such a couple. Binyani hazivugim lekafosam. You know what would end up happening? Hayutzrichen lichfos es kulam. We'd have to force so many situations. Verov hanashim habos biyamim hayuyotzos venotlos ksuva nedunya. And you'd have so many, you know, forced separations, and all the women who would forced out would all collect the ksuva. And when people know that when there's a divorce, there's a fight. And there's a ksuva, there's a fight, and you're going to just be marbef machlokas. And therefore, because this model, even though halachically it is the proper, from the straight halacha, thing to do for the bezin to get involved and to force people to not marry, you know, somebody who can't bear children, for whatever, for this reason, because they didn't want to have so much machlokas vilaze. Ha'elimu chachme hadoros es einehen. Ha'elimu milosh ne'alam. They hid their eyes. They covered their eyes. You know, they just pretended they didn't see. Binyani hazivugim shalolimonam. We don't get involved. If somebody's going to marry somebody else, and the woman can't bear children, she's too young, she's too old, she's infertile, we shut our eyes to it. I'm not saying that a rabbi shouldn't advise the couple one way or the other. But as far as the Beis Din enforcing the halacha, Beis Din won't get involved because we don't want to be marbe machlokas. As long as it's not a prohibited marriage. If, for example, it would be an Eishes Kohen to, I'm sorry, a Grusha to a Kohen. If it would be, for example, a Mamzer to a non-Mamzeres. If there would be an Isser involved, whether an Isser Doraisa, maybe even an Isser Daban, yes, the Beis Din would get involved. They'd enforce. But if it's a matter of somebody being totally permitted, other than the fact that they can't bear children, and the husband will be unable to fulfill Puravu, Beis Din does not get involved. That's the psak of the Rivash. And therefore, he responds, you can imagine, you know, the mayor sent a letter in conjunction with the Beis Din of the town, and he's telling the Beis Din of the town, sorry guys, you're not going to be able to enforce your psak on this fellow who wants to marry the 90-year-old lady. If this elderly woman, this 95-year-old lady, nichala, she wants to be known as a married woman. She wants to be known as a married woman. And instead of having a child to help her in her old age, she'll have a husband to help her in her old age. And the Rivaj borrows that phrase from Chazal, that a child in one's old age is like a chutra liyad, is like a stick to give somebody support when they're elderly. And she doesn't have a child to do that. She'll find a husband, a husband 40 years, 50 years younger than her to do that, to take care of her. And because this fellow is in such a financial predicament that he feels himself, willing to marry this 95-year-old lady, you have the right, im tirtzu, the Rivash addresses the Beis Din, im tirtzu lahalem einechem, if you want to hide your eyes, again, you see how delicately he writes this to the Beis Din. He doesn't say you have to, you can't. He says if you want to choose to ignore kasher nagu, just like the minhag in many, look how beautifully he writes it. Kasher nagu baharbe kehilos gedolos v'tovos mleos chachamim. There are many kehilos with great talmidei chachamim who have not forced. You guys don't have to be the ones to force. And that's the psak that he gives. Based on this psak, you see something incredible. The psak of the Rivash is, and we're going to see it in the Shulchan Aruch in just a moment, that if a man decides, perhaps wrongly, to marry a woman for whatever reason who cannot bear children, the Beis Din will not interfere. The Beis Din will not force him otherwise. Now, by the way, look at what I wrote here. Look at the end of the Rivash in the purple. By the way, even though he's marrying for money, and we know the Gemara says explicitly that marrying for money is, it doesn't say it's usser, but again, I don't want to offer any social critiques about how the world that we live in works. I know the ish l'shei mamon havi lebanim she'enu huganim, which is not a nice thing. Says the Rivash, an incredible point. That which Chazal said that somebody who marries for money are going to have not good children. Zel biisha hapsula lo, meaning she's somebody who he's not supposed to marry halachically, but he's doing it for money. That's when there's this, I don't want to call it a curse. That's when Chazal see or foresee or have the premonition that it's going to end up with bad children. But if she's mutter to him, so there's nothing wrong in the eyes of Chazal. There's nothing usur or this curse, if you were to say about banim she'enem mehuganim, that does not apply necessarily to somebody who just wants to marry for money. Interesting. That only applies if she's actually psula to him. Okay, that is the Rivash. With that Rivash in mind, let's now go to the Shulchan Aruch.
Let me ask a question.
Go ahead, Barry.
What about every other mitzvah?
I'll answer you. The answer to your question is that this is every other mitzvah. The halacha is that Beis Din is kofa ad shiyoma rotzani. Whenever there's a mitzvah saseh that somebody is not fulfilling, then Beis Din has the right to enforce it with a baseball bat. I told you the funny story last week, when the fellow complained to Scheinberg that his roommate wasn't getting up in time for his Zman Kriyat Shema, Scheinberg joked to him, "You got a baseball bat?" And not, of course, as a joke, not that you do it, but according to halacha, the Beis Din does force somebody to fulfill a mitzvah, d'oraisa, if they're not, mitzvah d'aseh, if they're not fulfilling it. Now, here's a case where it's much more formalized. It's like you're building a family. I mean, there's no family to build because she's infertile or she's not going to be able to have children. You're putting yourself in a situation, you're locking yourself up with a wedding and with a house that you're not going to be able to fulfill a mitzvah there. That's a big thing. It's not just like one time a guy didn't wake up, you know, we're not going to ask, we're not going to ask the presidents of the shul to, you know, anyone who's not waking up for Zman Kriya Shema to go into, you know, break into his house Shabbos morning, and all the people who daven at Minyanim that don't make Zman Kriya Shema, you know, that aren't even awake for Zman Kriya Shema, to break into their houses and to, you know, beat them, you know, till they say Kriya Shema. We're not going to do that. Correct. But here we have somebody who's formally creating a situation, an ishus, where there won't be the ability to be mekayim mitzvah say, yeah, the halacha is, like all other mitzvahs I say, you're kofen ad shiyom erotzani. That's correct. This is just one of all the mitzvahs that will do it. This is no different than any other mitzvah. But here it's just more formalized, and it's more long-term, and it's more of a, you're doing it like, you're making a wedding for this. So that's why they'll, you know, they should get involved. So let's see what the Shulchan Aruch Taka says. The Shulchan Aruch, this is the Ramah that I'm quoting for you, Bizman Hazeh Nagu Shelo Lakuf Alzeh. That was talking about the previous piece in the Shulchan Aruch, which was discussing somebody who is already 20 years old, I think, 20 years old and hasn't gotten married yet, so we don't force them anymore, even though we should force them to get married, but we don't do that anymore. That was last week. Continues the Shulchan Aruch. This is the Rivash that we just learned. This is the Ramah quoting the Rivash that we learned. Again, if the Rivash lived in the mid, or wrote that tshuva in the mid 1300s, or late 1300s, so again, the Ramah was 150 years later, he already knew this Rivash, and he's going to paskin like it. V'chein. Paskin's the Ramah. Mishalo kiyem priya v'rivya. Somebody who hasn't fulfilled pruvu ubalisa isha she'ena bas banim, and he's marrying a woman who's infertile for whatever reason. For example, kagon akara, she's infertile. Zekena, she's postmenopausal. Oktana, or she's 4 years old. Why? Well, maybe because you love her, or because she's got a lot of money. Mishum shechoshik ba, o mishum mamon shala. So afal pi, he says exactly the way the Rivash says. Even though midina hoya limchos bo, we really should be mocha and prevent him from marrying her. The custom has been for generations, we don't get involved, at least in a forceful way, when it comes to marriages. What about the most, the explicit case that Chazal said explicitly, we do force a man to divorce his wife after 10 years? Va'afilu, look what he says. Va'afilu nasa isha v'shoyma esra asar shonim. Even there, lo nagu lakof asol garsha. Afal pisha loki in priya v'rivya. And he quotes this from the Rivash. As long as, of course, she's not usher to him. If she's usher to him, again, a kohen to a grusha, somebody's marrying a mamzeres for the money, for the looks, whatever it is, he loves her, doesn't matter. Then we would force. But if it's just a matter of halacha, if it's just a matter of that not to be able to fulfill puravu, and not to fulfill, he's not going to be able to fulfill the mitzvah zaseh, we will not get involved. Okay, so at this point, I think it's very clear we had a beautiful Rivash and a beautiful Tshuva who says the halacha is one way, but just the minhag is otherwise. It's a fascinating situation. The minhag is we don't do what the halacha is. That's the minhag of the Batei Din. We don't follow the halacha. Why? Because we don't want to have fights. But you realize that from a halachic perspective, I don't even want to say it's a weak argument. It's not an argument because halachically, you have to. This is the best that we force, like Barry pointed out, we force to do people to do mitzvahs. We force them however we force them. And you're telling me that, you don't want to get in and start fights. You don't want to start fights. You're going to cause machlokas. So you're not following the halacha. Yeah, that's what the Rivash said. But you realize that there's a lot of room to argue on this, don't you? With that in mind, look at what the Pischei Tshuva says on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch. He quotes Sefer Kiryas Melech Rav. That's a commentary on the Rambam. Look what this Kiryas Melech Rav says about a Beis Din that shirks its responsibility to enforce halachic marriages, marriages that could bear children. Sefer Kiryas Melech Rav calls it, "Dekol Beis Din she'eno kofal zeh, lav shapir avid, ve'en lashgich b'minhag." What do you mean? There's a minhag to go against the halacha? What do you mean? What kind of minhag is this that the Beis Din have a minhag not to enforce it? It's a minhag against the halacha. Halacha is you should enforce it. And if I don't like this minhag, so it comes, in other words, this sefer is saying, this sefer Kiryas Melech Rav is arguing on the Rivash. and arguing effectively on the Ramban, saying you should for it, you should enforce it. Okay, so that's just that's the end of this little piece. We have again this nice Kiryas Melech Rav is very nice, but the Maisa we're going to follow, of course, the Ramah, and we are not going to enforce. If somebody does choose, perhaps not listening to our better judgment, to try to find a woman who can bear children with, who he can fulfill peruvah with, if he chooses otherwise, we're not going to force him. Oh. But now let's get into a few details of situations where a person can't be mekayim peruvu, and what we're going to do about it. The Pesachei Tshuva continues. He quotes the Marikash, who says that there's an interesting diuk in the lashon of the Rama. One second. No, that was an idea in the lashon of the Mechaber. The Mechaber had said a line that if, let's say, there's a 20-year-old, the 20-year-old she'ena rotza lisa, that doesn't want to get married, which is what we spoke about last week. So the Shulchan Aruch said we should force him to get married, and the Ramah came and says, no, bizman hazeh. This is the Ramah commentary now, commenting on the Shulchan Aruch. If you're 20 years old, you're an older single, you didn't get married yet, bizman hazeh nagul. We're not kofa. But the Shulchan Aruch said that if you were over 20 years old, we would force you to get married. A guy is, you know, an older single, like I was, and probably a bunch of you were. We would force them to get married. Says Marikash that the Mechaber is meduyuk. That's only if he doesn't want to get married. Because the Shulchan Aruch, when it says that we force an older single, again, there's a new point. There's not a point about a guy who is, you know, dating seriously or interested in marrying a woman who can't bear children. Now we finish with that. Now we're talking about a new point. The new point is that there's an older single who is still single. Could we force him to just marry a girl? So the Shulchan Aruch says we could force him. Rama says no. Shulchan Aruch says we could force him. Says the Marikash, but the Shulchan Aruch only says that we could force him if he's in a rotze lisa. He doesn't want to get married. Dimash, well, let's make a nice diuk in that lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. Look at the highlight on the screen. Dimash mashim rotze. He wants to get married. He's dating, you know, he's dating four girls in the last week. He'd love to get married. We just can't find the perfect woman. He wants to get married, but for some reason, he doesn't find the perfect wife, or he wants to finish medical school, or whatever other reasons that he might have. He's in the middle of, he's a startup, and he's starting up a startup, and he has to reach that critical point to get the investors, happy. So we're not going to, I'm not saying it's the right thing to do. It's definitely not the right thing to do, but the Bezim won't at least get involved because he wants to get married. Okay.
But if he's gone out with 300 girls already, then he means he doesn't want to get married.
I will not respond. I will not respond.
In other words, the girl hasn't been born yet, so...
Sometimes people need a reality check. You're talking truth, yes. Okay, however, look at what the Pesachei Tshuva concludes. Even after he says that if somebody wants to get married, just haven't found the perfect girl, or for whatever reason, is there an upper age? Is there a point that will say, enough is enough? When we come akom yira, look at the end of this Pesachei Tshuva, de'ein lehis acher mipnei siba shechutz migufo. You have the best excuse in the world. You have another 2 years of residency. You have the startup. You promised you wouldn't get married until you finish this project. You have to take care of an elderly parent, and you can't get married because you're busy with them. In other words, a siba chutz migufo, some external reason that you say this is my excuse. Well, I don't want to get married yet. So there is a limit to excuses. An external reason, sometimes outside, it's not like I didn't find her yet, or I don't like the girl I'm going out with. There's some external reason that prevents, I can't go out now because I have to finish school, or I have to do this, or I have to finish this project. Okay, you got till 24. Elad Esrim V'Arba. More than 24, if it's some external reason, we're not going to let you give you. This is not talking about Torah. Torah was a different discussion. That was last week or 2 weeks ago. I'm just talking about you have some external reason. You want to get married, so we're not going to force you. Because you have a good reason. You just have a good reason that you can't. okay, we'll give you till 24. After 24, even you have a good excuse to say sorry. You know, just because you want to get a, you want to finish your residency and fellowship in neurosurgery, and you're not going to be available till you're 34 years old to settle down, I'm sorry, that's not going to be acceptable. Okay? That's the Rivash, which was the base of the Shulchan Aruch. That was the Ramaz Psak. And now, let's just add some ice cream on the cake now. So there's a beautiful sefer, which is called Otzar HaPoskim. Otzar HaPoskim, you can see, it's a beautiful sefer. It's on Evan HaEzer. Evan HaEzer is about 200 simon long, 150 simonim long. This book, which has tiny print, mamish, tiny, tiny print, and it's, how many pages long? It's about 700 pages long. This is on the first 15 simonim. There are another 15 volumes of this on Evan HaEzer. So if you, you were talking about 8,000 pages worth just on Evan HaEzer. What this sefer, Otzar HaPoskim, is, it's an incredible, incredible reference sefer, is it compiles, it just compiles all the tshuvas and all the discussion of the poskim about every se'if in the Shulchan Aruch. So if I'm learning, you know, Evan HaEzer, Siman Aleph, Se'if, Gimel, which is what we're learning right now, so he's going to quote for me on every line of the Shulchan Aruch, all the poskim, all the tshuvas, all the, even the late tshuvas, it's a relatively recent sefer, came out probably 50 years ago. So all the later day poskim that discuss this issue, it brings it all on the se'if that you're learning. So it's like a Mishnah Brura on mega, mega steroids, beyond mega steroids. It, everything you can imagine, it quotes the tshuva, it quotes like a whole, a chunk of the tshuva, a synopsis, a beautiful, beautiful sefer. So Baruch Hashem, it actually, it's in the office, in my office in Shul, and I'm using it for the first time. You know, I wanted to have it, I just didn't have it at home when I was preparing. Baruch Hashem, my son Natana went to Shul and got it for me this morning, so I thank him. But let's look at two fabulous points that I have quoted from. They're small letters. I tried to make it a little bigger on the screen, so we'll see the best we could read it inside. But I told you they're small letters. So first, he's going to make a fabulous quote. He quotes Tshuvas, I think, Pei Nun Yud. I'm assuming it means Tshuvas Pnei Yehoshua on Evan HaEzer. I don't have that on my Bar Ilan, so I wasn't able to find it and go through the tshuva. Maybe it's on my my Otzar HaPoskim, which is a different database, but I will just quote it from here. The question is like this. We just finished learning together that even though the halacha should be that we enforce divorce for somebody who we enforce that they shouldn't get married if they can't bear if she can't bear children, or if they're married and they aren't bearing children for 10 years, we should enforce. We don't do that. We don't do that. We hold our hands back. But let me ask you a question. This is a really good question now. Let's say you have a couple that's been married for 10 years and they filed for divorce. They come to the rabbi and they say, you know, we don't like each other. I don't like the way, you know, he makes fun of me and she doesn't respect me. We don't like each other. We want to get divorced. You as the rabbi, you as the Beis Din, are you going to try to fix the marriage? You're going to send them for marriage therapy? You're going to try to solve their issues? Or are you going to say, I hear you don't like each other. Yeah, get divorced. Let's do it as fast as we can. Because you know that deep down, according to halacha, really, that we should be forcing them to get married. We wouldn't do it. We wouldn't come to them with a baseball bat. We wouldn't enforce anything because we don't want to foment machlokas in our generation. But if they come to you and they already, you know, they have a troubled marriage, are you going to encourage them to indeed get divorced? Because that is what the bottom line halacha is. Or are you going to treat them like you treat every other couple in your community or in your shul and say, let's talk about the issues, maybe we could go for therapy, maybe we could resolve it, let's try to do what we can. There are no children here to worry about because there's no proof. Oh, that's the issue. You know, that's, you know, in your mind as the rabbi, you know that they don't have children. Maybe you should encourage this divorce. Fabulous question, no? And I think it's a very real question. Let's see what he says. Kasa b'tshuvas pnei Yeshua against the blue, small letters on your page. If you're if you printed it out, it's on top of page 12. Kasa b'tshuvas pnei Yeshua, that the afsha ain't kofen, even though we don't force it, im ira, if it occurs, katata b'nehem. Right? You have a couple, they're married 10 years, and they're fighting. Ubala bezin, ain le bezin le tavich. Bezin shouldn't negotiate, shouldn't try to, you know, broker between the Lahashlim Binam and get Shalom Binam, Adarabba. The Beis Din should be very happy to get involved. Yerusha, his partner, should try to help them facilitate their divorce. And a Beis Din, look what he says, very strong words at the end of the third line. U Beis Din to Mizdaka Kelahem Lahashlim Binam. If there's going to be a Beis Din that will help them, you know, find harmony between themselves and help them improve their Shalom Bayis, Lav Shapir Avdei. That's not a good Beis Din. Etc., etc. And if a Beis Din's involved, you know, sometimes, you know, people, you know, sometimes call me and say, you know, I'm involved with this Beis Din, it's taking forever, they're not getting back to me, it's taking forever. You know, Beis Din takes a lot. First of all, Beis Din's are a lot faster than courts. But even when Beis Din takes so long, he says here, in this case, the Beis Din should be expedient, should move things along, don't schlep things out. And he says it's the lashon of is based on the Rambam, what we just learned, the Rivash that we learned, that even though we don't practically force or enforce divorces or break people apart actively, but if they're already breaking apart, really they should be. You know, if this couple doesn't have children together, they really should be separated. Now, again, I want you to just keep one thing in mind. Nowadays, when it comes to infertility, I mentioned this previously, it might have been thought previously that infertility was purely a woman's issue, a woman's problem. We know full well, and I mentioned the numbers last time, that statistically, 33% of infertility is because of the man. And another 33% of the infertility relates to the union between the man and the woman, clearly. Besides 33% that relates to the women's issues. Their numbers are not exactly 33%, but they're around there, around a third and a third and a third. So even if we, you know, if the guy has his own infertility, he has a problem with his zera, his immotility, I think what it's called, the motility of his zera, it's not able to swim and go where it has to go in the fallopian tubes. If he has a problem, so why would we want to facilitate a divorce if... Even if he's not married for 10, he didn't have children for 10 years, but that's because he can't. So he could divorce this woman and marry 20 other girls. He's still not, 20 other, you know, young girls, he's still not going to be able to have children because it's his problem. So obviously, this psak that we see in the Chuvas Pnei Yehoshua, you have to sort of calibrate it to the circumstance. Obviously, if a Beis Din is presented, Bizman HaZeh with such an issue, it perhaps would be appropriate to say, you know, I want to just veer away from the, you know, the legal issues and the Beis Din issues. Could I just ask you about the, you know, your fertility situation? That might be appropriate in such a case, that if it's indeed he's infertile because it's his problem, not because of her, because of him, then why would we, there, you know, he's not going to be able to have children. So let's work on the marriage. I think that would be appropriate. That would be an appropriate reaction, I believe. They're already fighting. They already wanted to get divorced. So you're not creating katata. I think that's the difference. Okay. Now, we're going to have the opposite question. Now we have a question of a frum Ernst Balmidos who is sickly and he's a big Talmud Chacham. His wife, he's married to a tzaddikus, the love of his life. She takes care of him. She takes care of his health needs. She lets him learn Bahasmada. She brings his food to the table so he could learn and doesn't have to even walk to the kitchen to get his lunch. And he learns a huge amount because she's so dedicated to him and to his learning. But alas, they're married 10 years without children. And we're not asking about forcing anybody, but he wants to do the right thing. We just said that the right thing, indeed, is maybe to get divorced. I will tell you that this Shaila that I'm presenting right now, I told you, I had a Rosh Yeshiva who is exactly in this, perhaps this situation. Married, they didn't have children. And again, some of you might know who that person is. I won't say any names. But a Rosh Yeshiva who was a Gadol B'Torah, who dedicated heart and soul, both he and his wife, to the Yeshiva and to the Bachrim in the Yeshiva. And they didn't have any children. The Yeshiva boys were his children, are his children. But he wants to do the right thing. Is it right for him to divorce his wife? He wants to do the right thing. Maybe she wants to do the right thing. She knows he has a mitzvah puravu, and she doesn't want to hold him back from his obligations. On the other hand, he has medical conditions, and she's taking good care of him. On the other hand, on that same hand, she's allowing him to learn as much as he can. She's a tzaddikus. He knows that she's a tzaddikus. There's no shalom bias issues. but he has a mitzvah d'oraisa peruva, and he knows, maybe he knows it's her problem, maybe it's her fertility issue. They went to the doctor, and they know that it's because she has some kind of fertility problem, that she will be on it, she had a hysterectomy maybe, she doesn't even have a uterus, she can't bear children. But she's a great girl. She's wonderful, she takes care of me. That's a very different question. Again, we're not going to force, but could he? He goes to the rabbi and says, "Rabbi, I want to do Ratzon Hashem." Goes to some gadol in Eretz Yisrael and says, "I want to do what Hashem wants. What does Hashem want me to do? Does he want me to have children? Or does he want me to stay with this woman who's wonderful for me, who's wonderful to me?" Here, the Otzar Poskim quotes the second piece, that's the white one in the cut and paste. I am a big day kahuna. Be'echad shenasa isha b'chutz la'aretz. We're not going to talk about the chutz la'aretz, you know, aspect, because that gets into a different issue. And he was married 10 years without children. Look at the third line. Shehi eshes chayil. She's a wonderful wife. Va'yadeza yachal hasmin b'tamat Torah. She takes care of his learning. She helps him learn. Third line. V'gam hu chalosh. He's weak. Va'osik b'refus. V'hi mashgich olav. She takes care of his medical needs. So he's wondering, maybe he should just, you know, stop providing sherksus v'ona, so that she'll want to get divorced. Maybe he should make, he should convince her that they shouldn't stay married. Obviously, she might not like that, but, you know, she doesn't have a mitzvah. But if he becomes mean to her, and he stops giving her money, and stops, you know, share, no ksus, no ona, maybe she'll want it, she'll be willing to take a get. Should he do that? What a painful question. Look at the fifth line. V'heshiv, the Rav responded, De'ena mechuyev lehotziah. He's not obligated to divorce her. Even though he's asking, even though the Mishnah says that not only is he obligated to divorce her, the Mishnah says that he's not only obligated, but we would force him to divorce her. Okay, we don't do that anymore, but no, you don't have to divorce her. You know what you should do? V'yarbe, fifth line, v'yarbe yoser, v'yarbe b'toru yoser. Why not? Why don't you have to divorce her? This is going to be a very important line. Firstly, mishum d'laharbe rishonim, ein din shel yud shanim b'chutz laretz klal. This halacha that if you're married for 10 years and don't have children, that you're supposed to get divorced, it doesn't apply in Eretz, in Chutz La'aretz. Let's stop here for a minute. That means in Eretz Yisrael, it would apply. That means in Eretz Yisrael, he would possibly have to divorce her. Hold that. Va'afel ha'rash to Chutz La'aretz olo l'minyan, but the opinion of the Rosh is that indeed in Eretz, in Chutz La'aretz, we do count those 10 years as a countdown, and he does have to get her divorced even in Chutz La'aretz. Second to last line, Harei im chala ein osa zman olam in haminyan. When it comes to divorcing a woman after 10 years, we know that he was sick, or she was sick, I think, actually. I don't remember who's sick. If one of them is sick, or she's sick, then that also doesn't go into the 10-year count. U'kamochein benidon didon. V'lo od. And furthermore, desafik hu benidon didon. And there's a safik in our question, the question at hand. Im yivne miacheres. If he'll have a wife from another one, if he'll have children from another wife. They realize maybe there could be fertility issues that on the man's part or between the two of them, that's not just her fault. This is a terrifying question. I think we'll do one more point. This is a terrifying question, but you see that the points that he's making might not apply in all situations. Again, if this is a couple in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, with so many people, you have so many living there, so I'm sure this Shaila applies in Eretz Yisrael. And now with fertility, analyses and diagnoses, we can know if it's her problem. So what would be indeed, I'm not going to give an answer, but if it's indeed, it's in Eretz Yisrael, so you don't have that side. And no one's sick. She just has a fertility, very specific fertility, whatever it is. And we know it's definitely her that's the cause of their not being able to get married. Would a good, conscientious Jewish man who comes to the rabbi crying his heart out saying, I know I have a mitzvah puravu, but I have a wonderful wife, should I divorce her? I'm sure there's more Torah written on this, but it's a frightening question. Okay, so I just want to finish this shiur with two other little tiny tidbits to finish off this piece of forcing and circumstances where there is a marriage that can't have children. Let's just do one more. We know that Rabbeinu Gershom made a cherem, which is not today's topic. Rabbeinu Gershom made a cherem, a number of cherems. One of them is, of course, he can't have multiple wives. Forget that. We're not talking about that one. He made another cherem that you're not allowed to marry a wife against her will. Because Rabbeinu Gershom wanted to even the playing field in the same way, right, that sometimes you hear in the news, this man, he's an idiot, he's not...
Does the Rav mean divorce a woman against her will?
Yes. Oh, what did I say?
Marry.
I'm sorry. Thank you for correcting me. Yes, I was wrong.
No,
yes. So Rabbeinu Gershom says that you're not allowed to divorce a woman against her will. And it's clear from the poskim that he really just wanted to, he was a very early feminist, and he wanted to play the, even the playing field. And since we know from the Torah perspective, Midoraisa, a man is the one who decides to divorce his wife. And if a man doesn't give her get, she's stuck. The Chazal, Rabbeinu Gershom, wanted to even the playing field and protect women's rights. Again, the Rishonim actually do say what I'm saying. This is not just me, putting some icing on, twisting. The Rishonim do say it, to even the playing field and to protect women's rights. They said, the woman also has to be willing to take a get, and you can't just give her a get against her will. Even though there are plenty of Gemaras and Gittin that talk about forcing a woman to take a get, throwing it into her backyard, throwing it into her lap, sticking it in her hands, she doesn't even know what it is. No, that doesn't work, Bisman Hazeh, after Rabbeinu Gershom. You cannot divorce a woman against her will. Now the question comes, what happens if a man is married 10 years, no children, and he wants to divorce her? It's not the best marriage anyway. But she says no. She knows maybe she's infertile. She knows no one else is going to marry her. She has a history, and maybe they did a checkup, and they did an analysis. They know it's her fault that she's infertile. She's not going to be able to get a shidduch. So she just says, I'm not taking get from you. You're stuck with me, hubby. I love you. You don't have to like me. I love you, and I'm happy to have you. I'm not taking get from you. And after Rabbeinu Gershom, there's nothing he could do, right? Says the Beis Shmuel, Vim rotza legarish bizman hazeh. In the middle of the page on the screen, highlighted. Vim rotza legarish bizman hazeh ba'al korcha. He wants to force her to take the get. He wants to just drop a get off in her hands and be done with her. Acher shashash asar hashanim. He waited 10 years, no children. Nirid, it seems to me, b'chi hai gavna, that they don't have children, lo gazer Rabbeinu Gershom. Wow. Even though there's a chayr Rabbeinu Gershom that you're not allowed to marry, you're not allowed to thank you, divorce a woman against your will, against her will. You cannot divorce a woman against her will. She has to be willing to take the get. That's under normal circumstances. But if there is a mitzvah d'oraisa that you have to fulfill puravu, and you wanted to fulfill puravu, or you just don't like her, and you want to give her the get, and you have a mitzvah d'oraisa to do, of course Rabbeinu Gershom isn't going to establish, in the year 1000 or so, which is when he lived, in the year 1000, he's not going to make a cherem against the din d'oraisa that will prevent a person from fulfilling a mitzvah d'oraisa. And therefore, if a person has a mitzvah d'oraisa to do puravu, he will be able to continue the din d'oraisa, have the opportunity that is available to him in d'oraisa, of divorcing her against her will, as the Torah allows.
Well, she has another option, right? He has a Mehatameh Rabbanim. That's hard. Maybe that's too difficult.
It's exceedingly difficult. There are a lot of parameters. Maybe we'll get up to that in about 5 years when we get to that point in Evan HaEzer. Maybe sooner. I don't know in all cases if there is a Hetamere Rabbanim, and even if there is a Hetamere Rabbanim, it has to be 100 Rabbanim from two or three or four continents.
Okay, sorry, and, I raised it.
Now it's easy to do. You just send a text message to 100 rabbis, Google the word rabbi, copy 100 emails, send an email to 100 rabbis, you get yourself a Hetamere Rabbanim in 4 minutes. But it used to take, years to collect a Hetamere Rabbanim from different continents, the halacha is. Okay, so that's these are some of the issues relating to marriages that are questionable. Again, not someone who you're not allowed to marry. Everything we talked about today is someone you're allowed to marry, but just she can't bear children, or Hashem should help Klal Yisrael in our marriages. Should give us shalom bayis to all of our families, and Klal Yisrael should be able to bear children. I want to thank everybody for joining today. Good to see everybody. Hey, Safrir and Yassi and Dr. Shist and Ellie and David, Dr. Corman, Abba, Barry, good to see you. Yassi and Daddy, and I have my father and my father-in-law. What could be better? What could be better? The Zoom is a great thing. Could have my father and my father-in-law. Well, thank you for coming from Eretz Israel, to Abba. And the Chazan, Mr. Davies, Mr. Gold, thank you, Dr. Hollander, Mr. Saad, Mr. Berman, Yankee, Mr. Malik, Ben. Okay, so have a wonderful day. That's Hashem, you're welcome to tune in.
Bye-bye, thank you.
Baruch Hashem to you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
You're welcome to tune in again, 6:15. Bez Hashem, next week we're going to do the topic of Choshka Nafshi Batorah. The Gemara, the Ben Azai says, I don't have to get married because I love learning so much. So he never got married. To question what actually happened historically, we're going to get into the history of what, did he really never get married or did he not? And what kind of excuse is this for somebody to say, I don't want to get married because I just love learning. Not that I want to delay getting married. I just never want to get married. That we'll talk about next week, and then maybe some more things next week as well. So look forward to greeting you a week from now. Kol Tov, be well. Bye-bye. Thanks for joining. Bye, Mommy.